As Peter Drucker once said, the best way to predict the future is to create it. So let's create it, my friends. Welcome, 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 everyone, to this here Electronic Engineering Podcast, brought to you by EEJournal.com and hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. So I just flew in from San Diego, and boy is my VPX tired. Yes, I spent the last several days this week at one of my favorite shows of the year, the Embedded Tech Trends Conference. Now, if you didn't know already, this conference is an industry-wide forum where suppliers of component, board, and system-level solutions can meet exclusively with the members of the industrious EE Media, which, yes, includes me, to discuss technologies, trends, and a variety of products. So let's start things off this week with a little VPX and OpenVPX primer. My first guest this week is Mark Littleton from Contron. Mark and I are talking about the secret to the success of open system architectures, the pros and cons of OpenVPX, and what SOSA, or the Sensor Open Systems Architecture, is doing to help solve some of the myriad of challenges in this space. Let's get going. My guest today is Mark Littlefield from Contron. Thank you so much for joining me, Mark.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Okay, so first off, give my audience a little information about what Contron is all about.
Sure. Contron is a supplier of embedded computing products, and we have a lot of market. Our biggest market is industrial. We do a ton of industrial computing, but we also do medical, some automotive computing, avionics, and I personally work in the defense group.
Okay, so we are here to talk about VPX and defense open system architectures. Now, give my audience a couple examples of open system architectures, and what's the secret to their success, do you think?
Sure. I mean, everybody who plays with computers knows open systems, because open systems have been this way since the old IBM PC time. And there's informal standards, and then there's formal standards. If we talk about embedded computing, one really, really good example right now of a formal standard is COMExpress. It's a very well-defined standard with regards to the physical nature of the board, with regards to the connectivity of the board. And you can basically take a COMI module out of a system and replace it with a new one with the expectation that it'll just work. And so the idea being, you want to standardize those things that really enable you to quickly build new systems.
So as in your presentation at the Embedded Tech Trends show today, defense has a lot of problems in general with standards, right?
Right. I mean, if you think about your typical desktop PC or a motherboard like that, they're pretty much all the same thing. It's a PC on a board with standardized I/O. Well, defense systems are made up of multi-computers typically. You have multiple processors working on a problem, and then you've got multiple types of I/O. And so you've got to be able to mix and match these processor types and these I/O types and storage types and things like that all into form a system. Then on top of that, they have to be ruggedized. It has to be able to stand up to the rigors of a defense system, extended temperature, minus 40 to plus 85 degrees C. Shock and vibration, things like dust and liquid spills and, you know, hydraulic fluids and any number of things that all have to be played really, really hard to come up with a standard way of building these systems and a standard way of finding the products that you would use to build these systems.
Okay, so now what do you think are the pros and cons with OpenVPX in particular?
Okay, so I'm in kind of a unique position in that I was one of the first co-chairs of OpenVPX and when it was first started. And so I kind of saw it from the very beginning and how it's evolved over time. And I would say that we were only a qualified success. We managed to standardize certain things that made it a lot easier to build VPX-based systems, especially for the defense market. This idea of what we call planes, the data plane, the control plane, the utility plane, the expansion plane, the storage plane, those are good concepts. And we managed to nail down some basic usage and some basic expression about how to tie all those things together. But On the flip side, there's a lot of different profiles in OpenVPX. Rather than having like two or three like Kami has three basic profiles that everybody follows. OpenVPX has, I think, 36U in like over 63U profiles. It's kind of a mess, actually. So that's made it very difficult to be able to build interoperable systems and to build systems that you can do a model year upgrade, take a processor out and put a new processor in.
Okay, so SOSA, or the Sensor Open Systems Architecture, is working to solve some of these challenges, right? I imagine that there are a lot of different technical requirements and applications that have their own requirements to be figured out.
Oh, exactly. I mean, the types of problems that SOSA is working to solve is like radar, EOIR, electro-optic infrared systems, signal intelligence, electronic warfare, communications, radios. We want to create an infrastructure and a set of products, if you will, product definitions that can be mixed and matched to build these different kinds of systems. But they all have their own approaches to how to build these kinds of systems and their own ways of doing things. And we have to adapt all of their needs and to come up with a common set of tools to be able to build these systems. And so that's what we're trying to do in SOSA.
Okay, now, Mark, it is time for your off-the-cuff question. I know you have a couple teenage girls at home. I'm really worried about the teenage years for myself. Do you have any one bit of advice for me raising a couple kids on their way to teenagedom?
Other than having a glass of wine close by? Yeah, just be patient, be a good role model. They're going to go through their moody periods, and just don't get too upset with them. It's so easy to, but just don't get too upset with them.
That is good to hear. Thank you so much, Mark. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
Now, at the very heart of the Embedded Tech Trends Conference is a variety of different open system architecture groups, including VITA, which is an organization driving technology and standards for the bus and board industry, SOSA, as Mark and I were discussing earlier, and PICMIG, which is a nonprofit consortium of companies and organizations that work together to develop open standards for high-performance telecommunications, military, industrial, and general-purpose embedded computing applications. So just as VITA and SOSA are working on a huge variety of standards, PICMIG is as well. So without further ado, let's bring in the president and CEO of PICMIG, Jess Isquith to Fish Fry. Oh yeah, I get all the rock stars of our industry.
Thank you so much for joining me, Jess.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk to you about PICMIG and interested to know what questions you have.
Okay, so first off, for my audience who may not know, what is PICMIG all about?
Okay, PICMIG is a consortium of companies, it's not for profit, that is dedicated to developing open specifications and standards for embedded computing. And we've been doing it for 25 years up till now. Some of our major specifications that some of your audience may know about are Compact PCI, as well as Comm Express, Micro TCA. So all of these are physical form factors used in various types of computing across so many industries. And also a key thing is that it's a global organization. And so our membership is a third in Europe, a third in Asia, a third in North America. So we really get interesting requirements from around the world. But companies right now, about 150 of them, actively kind of coming together in different subgroups to meet the ever-evolving embedded computing requirements.
Okay, so let's talk about your session at the Embedded Tech Trends show this year, which was called What's Past is Prologue. Also love that title, but tell me exactly what do you mean by that?
Well, the original expression, or really quote from Shakespeare, had to do with the fact that all the decisions we've made in the past bring us to where we are today. And it may seem obvious where it's going, but really not. And you can really pull from different things. And I kind of wanted to go with that theme because the overall theme of the event was the future is now. And PICMIG is hitting that milestone of 25 years. And one of the things that I've learned and seen is that some of the new specifications we're working on really root from things that may have come up or started 10, 15 years ago. Sure. And the other thing that's been interesting is certain specifications that maybe were conceived for telecommunications market now find their home in particle accelerators and physics. So we don't really know what's coming next. Sure. And that is something that I wanted to kind of touch on, both by giving the history of PICMIG, but also some of the turns that have happened along the way and the many turns that I expect to continue.
All right, Jess, let's talk about the future. Now, what does the future of PICMIG look like?
Continuing on past as prologue, some of the original work that PICMIG did was really for industrial automation and bringing computing into some new environments. And one of the big emerging trends right now is with industrial IoT. For example, the fastest growing area is the factory floor. And so the PICMIG expertise kind of suits that quite well. So we're actively working on bringing interoperability to the sensor domain. And for us, that means both looking at the smart sensors and the not smart sensors, but bringing some physical form factors to that space, but also data modeling. So that's something that for the next handful of years, you'll be seeing quite a bit of product out of PICMIG around. Other future things include with small form factors. ComExpress is now reaching like $1 billion a year in terms of products, and it's sort of ubiquitous, you know, from digital signage to augmented reality, medical to military. I mean, it's just everywhere just because it's so flexible. So we're going to continue evolving that. But we're also moving from things that are traditionally computer on module to like server on module. So you'll be seeing a new specification from PICMIG the next year around that, which will then all of a sudden be taking small form factors into PCIe Gen 4, maybe Gen 5,
right,
to be determined, 100 gig space, and really taking advantage of server-grade processors in a small form factor.
All right, we're going to talk about something a little close to my heart is women in high tech. Now, I'm counting the number of women in our event this time around. It's around 10, maybe 12. What are your thoughts on this? How do we get more women into this industry?
Something I think about quite a bit and have thought about since I was an engineering student in the early 90s. And it's a big challenge. I mean, I think our society, unfortunately, starts to segment at very early age so that it may sound simple, like girls aren't expected to do certain things and or push. So I think the problem's systemic, but it is changing. It's not changing at the rate I would like to see. It clearly doesn't reflect our population.
Right.
But I think mentoring's key. I think organizations like the Society for Women Engineers is really important. I think the fact that I was just recently reelected to be the president of PICMIG is a good sign. I show up at this event every year and count the women. This year, out of 22 speakers, 2 were women. Unfortunately, that reflects the percentage of women in leadership positions in high tech, which is, as of like this past year, considered to be approximately 10%. So this conference does reflect that reality. One good sign I'm seeing is the number of engineering students, that balance is shifting a bit. It's interesting, different disciplines though, I mean, engineering's so broad. So in, say, chemical engineering and a couple others, there's much more of a balance. In electrical engineering, still not there. So I think the more people who are doing things like what you're doing, and for all of us who are doing it, the more we can mentor the young ones and keep that going. That's one of the reasons started an outreach program for universities through PICMIG. Nice. To try to get that membership, get those voices. So I don't have the solution. I just know that part of my motivation in doing what I'm doing is to be a woman in a leadership position in technology.
Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Jess.
Thank you.
As you can imagine, a lot of the presentations at the Embedded Tech Trends Conference are military and aerospace centric. So there are a lot of conversations about trends in the mil aerospace, specifically as they connect to open standards. But did you know that there is another battlefield brewing? It's true. It's not on an aircraft carrier or in a desert somewhere. It's in our own backyard. What I am talking about is this new battlefield in the world of advanced packaging technology, where 2.5D packaging and heterogeneous design drive constraints that span semiconductor, packaging, board, and even system-level design that are causing a wide range of challenges, problems, and head-scratching moments. In a recent episode of Chalk Talk entitled A New Advanced IC Packaging Battlefield, I sit down with John Park of Cadence Design Systems and talk all about new techniques and tools for advanced IC packaging design. And no flak jackets are needed this time. You can check out this episode of Chalk Talk by heading on over to the Chalk Talk section of eejournal.com. Can't miss it, right across the top. You can click the link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com, or you can head on over to YouTube. Keyword, EE Journal. And have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If LinkedIn is more your thing, well, sure, you can follow us on LinkedIn as well. And don't forget our Twitter handle is EEJournalTFM. And we have that YouTube channel I mentioned earlier, keyword EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of super cool techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series. And by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can also check out the Fish Fry archive or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, including more information about Vita, PicMig, Sosa, Contron, and more, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you everyone for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, even if your company makes it, that's totally fine. Any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. And one last thing before we go, a big old shout out to Mr. Jerry Gipper, the head of the Embedded Tech Trends Conference. Thank you, Jerry, for all your hard work. For the week of February 1st, 2019, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.